WZEH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Diplomacy through social media ended with Colombia backing off of a stance amid trade threats from President Trump.
President Trump had threatened steep tariffs on imports after Colombia's president blocked two U.S. military planes from landing. In a statement last night, the White House saying the government of Colombia has agreed to all of President Trump's terms, including the unrestricted acceptance of deported migrants.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The Washington Post reports the president directed federal law enforcement to ramp up the number of daily migrant arrests. It's raining in Southern California, and that's helping reduce the fire risk, but there's now a greater risk of severe mudslides in burned out areas. Last night in Kansas City, Chiefs fans celebrating as the team clinched a fifth trip to the Super Bowl in the last six seasons, beating the Buffalo Bills. They'll meet the Philadelphia Eagles in New Orleans in Super Bowl 59. The Eagles beat the Washington Commanders. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies because he purchased the home in 2024 for 17 million smackers. Not many people pocket 133 mil on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee and the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are gonna throw a punch back. No team is just gonna get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were gonna respond to how we came out talking like it's okay, like just weather that storm, gotta keep moving forward, and we did.
Hockey, the Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan in a two-game series, the Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, maybe a flurry or two today and breezy, highs 30 to 35. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 10 to 15, and more clouds tomorrow, breezy with flurries, highs in the low 30s. Mild and dry for the rest of the week. Currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages.
I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kaye, will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Improving weather. That's the way I want to start my Monday. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. The 27th day of January. The temperatures later this week are going to feel anything but like January in Wisconsin. We are going to see the thermometers surge, but then again, the winds are going to be pretty strong as well. Today, cloudy skies on the way. We'll see a daytime high right around 42 degrees, but winds out of the southwest, 15 to 20, up to 40 miles an hour, are going to keep us chilly. Tonight, down to 23. Tomorrow, sunshine and 43. But again, gusty winds remain. For Wednesday, sunshine and 37. But again, persistent winds. Thursday, we're supposed to be 51 degrees. But again, the winds stick around. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has all the weather details you're looking for. That's up in about 15 minutes. Some changes to the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. We're going to hear about it from their president, Charlie Crave, on why they've changed a little bit of their direction and what the ultimate goal is. We're also introducing you to the 2025 Farm Dog of the Year, as announced at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention over the weekend. So a little fun and plenty of news all coming your way.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
What's going to happen going forward with the new administration? Are we going to drill, drill, drill? Or are we going to use renewable energy? That's still a question we're waiting to get the answers to. John Fuhrer is with us with Growth Energy, headquartered in Washington, D.C. And John, there has to be some uncertainty in your industry right now with this new administration coming in.
Anytime you have a presidential transition, you're going to have changes. And if you're a business and you have change, that means there could be some uncertainty. I think President Trump coming in, you know, you can look to his first term to see how he governed in his first term when it comes to something like ethanol. He's very strongly supportive of E15, spoke very positively around ethanol and biofuels and agriculture. So I think there's something there to work with. But again, you know, he's going to come in and he's going to have a different perspective than we've had the last 4 years, and you have to work with that perspective. You don't get to choose who's in power, but you have to work with them, and you have to find a pathway that makes sense for them and makes sense for you.
And as you look back on his first term, he appointed an EPA administrator that wasn't friendly to ethanol, the gentleman from Oklahoma. How much of a challenge is it? And I don't know this new EPA administrator from New York, but what do you know about him and his feelings towards renewable energy?
This is a place where I think President Trump is different this term than he was in his first term. I think he realized how important it is who he chooses to be those who are in his cabinet. And he's looking more at someone who will carry out his vision. With Mr. Pruitt, he had someone who maybe dabbled around the edges some in ways that he wasn't necessarily aware of. I think he's chosen a man in Mr. Zeldin who does not have, I would say, a pro-biofuels background. He's chosen someone that he feels confident will carry out his vision. And I would say his vision to us, it's something that we have year-round E15. We have strong support for ethanol and biofuels, and we have strong support for the American farmer. And if that is the vision that's carried out, I think that sounds like a place where we can find some common ground. You know, there's going to be a confirmation process for Lee Zeldin. He's a former congressman, candidate for governor in New York. The Senate's going to take up his nomination. They're required by the Constitution to give advice and consent. But they're going to pour into some of these topics, and they're going to ask him what he thinks and what he feels. and that's going to be something that comes out. So we're going to get a better sense over the next couple months. I will say it's clear when the president appointed Mr. Zeldin, he does care about expanding American energy production. And I think for us, when we hear him talk about lowering consumer prices, E15 is a lower cost fuel. In Wisconsin, they know that very well. You pull up to a Quick Trip station, they're going to have E15. It's going to cost you less than your regular grades of fuel. So I think that there's some things to work with here, and we're going to find out more as the next couple months move along.
Bring us up to date on what's been going on in the renewable fuels industry here in this country.
I would say there's kind of two things that have happened. I would say you've seen a really strong year for ethanol exports. We are very competitive in the world stage right now. And I would also say there's a lot of interest in how we can reduce our carbon. You know, you and I talked shortly before this about some of the things that happen in Wisconsin. You know, you've got people who are shipping it to Canada because that's a really strong market for them. We're seeing our trade partners across the world. We're seeing some of the western states who do their own statewide programs. They focus a lot on carbon. So I would say carbon is a really big consideration for our members. And it's a really big consideration because that's where energy has been moving the last several decades. And that's where we anticipate we'll continue to move. So anything that we can do that will lower the carbon intensity of our fuel, whether that's at the plant or working with farmers for practices on the farm, we're going to be interested in that. I also think you see there's the potential to use ethanol in markets outside of light-duty vehicles. There's a lot of talk about using, essentially supercharging ethanol and using it in sustainable aviation fuel. And that's a really fun new market that we could really take advantage of, especially as you see cars get more efficient, more electric vehicles come online. We may have a reduction in gasoline and in liquid fuel usage, and this is a place where we can then park some of those gallons that we have.
Sustainable aviation fuel is exciting, but some of the things I hear is that does it provide enough power or oomph for those jet engines to be able to take off? Is that a justifiable argument, or is the industry working on putting more energy or whatever term you want to use into that fuel for these high-powered jet engines?
There is a fair amount of sustainable aviation fuel out there. It's designed, again, it is not a petroleum-based fuel, but it's designed to be exactly the same way when you get jet fuel from a petroleum refinery. Right now, I'd say most of it is produced with like an oil or a fat or a lipid, so it's not from alcohol. Essentially, what you do is you take alcohol in, or ethanol in this case, you take that into a facility, you convert that, and molecularly, it's the exact same as a jet fuel. So I think once we have some production online, a larger amount of production online, you won't see any difference whether it's jet fuel or whether it's sustainable aviation fuel. The challenge is doing this conversion, it takes a little bit of energy, it takes a little bit of extra money. And when you do that, you need to be able to make sure that facility will pan out. You're going to make a profit on that. And not only that, you're going to have enough runway from an incentive side where you can actually get beyond that valley of death to make sure that that project works. That's kind of the stage we're in right now. We're in this stage where people are building these facilities, but this is going to take several years for them to get to a spot where it works right.
How much can that lower the price of this jet fuel, which is awfully expensive?
I would say right now, SAF fuels are not at parity with the jet fuel, petroleum jet fuel. Over time, I think you can get there. As an example, when we first started producing ethanol in this country, we were above gasoline. We were not competitive. But now, we are competitive. I would argue we've been below gasoline for virtually every year for the past 10, 15, 20 years. And that's because we worked out the kinks, we figured out how to make it more efficiently, we figured out how to eliminate some of these additional costs in the production process. And you won't get to that point unless you can get, again, beyond this valley of death where you can do some of these first things. Again, if you look at an ethanol biorefinery from 1980 versus an ethanol biorefinery today, it's a very different story. You get more alcohol from a bushel of corn, you use less energy, you use less water. It's a very different game now than it was back then.
One of the things we also hear about ethanol, don't use it in your boat, don't use it in your lawnmower, don't use it in your motorcycle. Is that one of those old wives' tales from years ago and doesn't really apply anymore now?
I would say the best thing that I would advise anyone who wants to put a fuel in any sort of small or marine or off-road engine, make sure you look at your owner's manual. Make sure you look at what you're putting in there. For many, many years now, an E10 fuel has been compatible with all of those engines. And in where you find E15, especially in Wisconsin, you're going to find a lower ethanol fuel blend available as well. And so what I would say is if you're going to look at what you should use as a fuel, you should make sure you follow your owner's manual. And make sure that you find the one that works best for you.
John, something else that is on the horizon with this new administration coming in, whether it will happen or not, we don't know, tariffs. How much of a challenge would that be? Because, you know, Brazil has been a market for our ethanol production. And how much did the word tariff catch your attention?
You mentioned Brazil in particular. And right now, I would argue, I look at kind of the red carpet that we roll out for the Brazilians, because we've generally been a country that has been a firm believer in free trade. They can bring alcohol or ethanol in here, no tariff. They can take advantage of the renewable fuel standard. They can take advantage of low-carbon programs in California. Whereas if I look at the way ethanol shipped to Brazil from the U.S., how that goes, we have a tariff. We can't access their version of the RFS. So I would say there's already a discrepancy there. I think trying to find a way to address those discrepancies, sometimes that is going to take some creative and bold action. And I think our industry has gotten somewhat tired of some of this relationship we've seen with Brazil. I think that there is more and more desire to try and find new solutions. Now, when you're talking about broader tariffs, the last time President Trump was in office, we did see a tit for tat on tariffs. We've seen some markets dry up in Japan, or not Japan, in China, rather. You know, the ethanol market in China is completely dried up. A distiller's grain market in China is completely dried up. These do have impacts, but there is potentially a way to use it as leverage. And I see that particularly when you talk about Brazil. You know, right now they don't seem to think that there's going to be any sort of blowback for them having a tariff on our ethanol. And if there is some sort of blowback or some sort of stick, if you will, instead of a carrot, you know, I think that gets people's attention from time to time. And I think that is that's a reason why there's a lot of American voters who are okay with this type of approach.
A perspective on the renewable fuels industry from John Fuhrer of Growth Energy. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh,
well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's the red alert. That,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Somebody on the talk text line that thought they heard you say something about Wild Rose last week. Anybody end up surprising you with what we ended the week with?
No. The northwest part of the state really was where the snow fell and where it accumulated. Mm-hmm. You made me look back, but Wild Rose on the 22nd, that was last Wednesday, picked up 1.1 inches of snow.
Yeah, and I went through Wild Rose on Thursday and didn't notice too much. So it's kind of been that way. If anybody got snow, it's not going to be around for long. Before I digress, though, I did want to let you know about the cutting-edge information everybody wants to know this morning. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Farm Dog of the Year.
Okay.
And it's a big one. It's a Stumuck kind of dog down in Florida. The dog's name is Sirius. He's 6 years old, and he's a Marlamé. It's a guard dog. Looks a lot like a Great Pyrenees, but has kind of a little bit of St. Bernard look to him. And he guards therapy ponies in Florida. The ponies go to places like nursing homes, hospitals. They took it to Sandy Hook for some counsel. So valuable little animals. And that dog, Sirius, helps to guard them. So he's the Farm Dog of the Year. But the People's Choice pup was, it looks to me like a pit bull mastiff cross, a rescue dog named Daisy from Kentucky. She saved her farmer's life. Farmer fell down. Farmer couldn't get up. Farmer didn't have a cell phone. Daisy the dog made all kinds of ruckus and commotion and craziness until somebody came to help her farmer. So she was the People's Choice dog at the American Farm Bureau Federation's convention, which, by the way, wraps up today in San Antonio. Those folks farther south, though, normally at this time of the year, we'd be envious of their weather. But anybody that's been on social media watching people make snowballs in Florida, I got a buddy, farm broadcast buddy in Baton Rouge, and he had his grandkids playing in snow. It kind of flips it on their ear, don't you think?
Yeah, it seems to be a really different year where we're hoping for snow. They're getting it. Don't know what to do with it.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Mother Nature has to bring something around for us a little bit this week. Hopefully we get a better chance as we head through February and March to get some moisture. Pretty quiet here, though, to start out the week. An Alberta Clipper low way up into Canada with a front still north of Lake Superior. There is snow over Lake Superior, some rain across the Canadian side of Lake Superior. So the UP of Michigan, far northwest Wisconsin, may get a little snow, some flurry activity today. Well, I shouldn't say just far northwest. Eau Claire, Wausau, and into far northeast Wisconsin could see a little snow shower activity. The rest of us, a few more clouds. And in the south, a whole different picture. Very mild air today. A couple of clippers keep some of that snow in the north, but keeps temperatures fairly mild. A big change from what we saw last week for this week to see some very mild air in store. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
All right, buddy, let's have those details. Like you said, it's going to be windy, but the temperatures are going to climb.
The temperatures are going to climb. There's a wind advisory in far southeast Wisconsin. For a lot of us today, upper 30s and low 40s. I'd say Madison to Milwaukee, 42, 43. But then you look up to far northwest Wisconsin, maybe a 30 with a little light snow. So a big difference in the state. Southwest winds today, a good 15 to 30. They'll even gust up around 40 miles per hour. Partly cloudy overnight. A lot of us dropping back to the low 20s, even upper teens in the north, with those northwest winds still gusting up to 15 and 30. More sunshine on Tuesday in the south. Clouds will be flurries way in the north tomorrow. And I'd still expect upper 30s and low 40s for Tuesday, with the southwest winds gusting to 30. More sunshine Wednesday, Pam. About 30 in the north, upper 30s in the south. The northwest winds gusting to 20 and 25. The winds might start to diminish somewhat out here later in the week, but it does stay pretty breezy.
All right, plan on that. Good enough, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see you then.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist with pretty decent weather details for you on a Monday. It's all brought to you courtesy of our friends at Compure Financial. Compure Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Great resources online if you're trying to do some planning. Compure.com can help you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Diplomacy through social media ended with Colombia backing off of a stance amid trade threats from President Trump.
President Trump had threatened steep tariffs on imports after Colombia's president blocked two U.S. military planes from landing. In a statement last night, the White House saying the government of Colombia has agreed to all of President Trump's terms, including the unrestricted acceptance of deported migrants.
That's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The Washington Post reports the president directed federal law enforcement to ramp up the number of daily migrant arrests. It's raining in Southern California, and that's helping reduce the fire risk, but there's now a greater risk of severe mudslides in burned out areas. Last night in Kansas City, Chiefs fans celebrating as the team clinched a fifth trip to the Super Bowl in the last six seasons, beating the Buffalo Bills. They'll meet the Philadelphia Eagles in New Orleans in Super Bowl 59. The Eagles beat the Washington Commanders. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkel-derkeling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkel-derkeling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkel-derkel, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkel-derkel stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few hundred bucks a night to stay in bed
and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than Herkel Durkel. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee on the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are going to throw a punch back. No team is just going to get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were going to respond to how we came out talking. Like, it's okay. Like, just weather that storm. Got to keep moving forward. And we did.
Hockey, the Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan. In a two-game series, the Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, maybe a flurry or two today and breezy, highs 30 to 35. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 10 to 15, and more clouds tomorrow, breezy with flurries, highs in the low 30s. Mild and dry for the rest of the week. Currently 21 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Really never seen.
Looks like the markets are a little jittery this morning. Again, everybody concerned about what could be developing with tariffs around the world. We'll get to the numbers as we roll our way through a Monday. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're also going to be finding out about changes to the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. They have basically parted company with their executive director, Brenda Scheider, as well as their assistant, Joanne Wolin. But according to their president, it is all for the greater good of Wisconsin 4-H. Stick around for that story in just moments. So today is the 27th day of January. What can I tell you? Not a lot really that are notable as far as birthdays are that. On this day back in 1976, Laverne and Shirley, spinoff from Happy Days, starring Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams. Well, that show premiered on this day back in 1976 on ABC. On this day, 1984, Michael Jackson severely burned while filming a Pepsi commercial that was going to be featured during the Super Bowl. That happened on this day back in 1984, and now you know. As I said, we want you to know there's been some changes to the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. It's all in an effort to try to run more efficiently and also make sure that donors' money goes farther. That's according to their president, Charlie Crave. Stephanie Hoff caught up with Crave to find out more.
For more than 70 years, the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation has helped raise funds for Wisconsin's 4-H program. This year, the foundation will undergo a restructuring. It will expand its partnership with the University of Wisconsin Foundation with the goal of increasing efficiency and raising more money. Charlie Crave is the president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation, representing the board of directors. He explains for us why they decided to start the restructure.
Fortunately and unfortunately, been involved with administering a lot of the programs and a lot of the funds which we raise. So that has taken a significant amount of time and effort. And so we are restructuring to align with greater fundraising, greater operating efficiency, greater return on the donor's investment, and we're aligning more tightly with the UW Foundation. The reason for that is they currently hold most of our funds. So our funds are invested through the UW Foundation. However, they have a hallway of lawyers, accountants, et cetera, et cetera. We currently outsource a number of those services. And while they are competitively priced, we have done our research. We are absolutely positive we can save money by operating with the structure of the UW Foundation.
Charlie says, in turn, that money can go toward what 4-H does best, youth development. But as the foundation ties itself closer to the flagship university in Madison, is it possible that the 4-H Foundation could get swallowed up entirely? Charlie disagreed.
And that is a viable perception. However, it is not true. And the foundation board is working hard to add greater relevance to the foundation brand, and get those funds into the programming. We are incredibly confident that this is not a swallow-up move, but much more of an alignment, totally an alignment. to say we're excited about this is absolutely true. We have been reviewing policies and procedures, numerous communication channels, emails and press releases, etc. And we've received some really wonderful feedback from quite a few folks.
We never did give people an idea of just how valuable or the price tag you could put on the 4-H Foundation.
Yeah, we do about a quarter to a half million dollars a year in revenue in terms of proceeds from meat product sale and private donations and year-end solicitations and such, foundations that support us, yeah.
With the streamlining aspect, combining resources with UW Foundation to be more efficient, more effective, do you have any kind of metric for us of what you might save?
We feel that over the next few years, we're going to be saving substantially. I'm not going to go out and say double our returns over our administration costs, but that would really be nice. Yeah.
Charlie Crave along with us. He's the president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. He says donors can rest assured that their gifts will continue to support 4-H exclusively. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board will transition to becoming an advisory board to Extension's 4-H program. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. We've got the latest milk production figures for December. And as we expect, Wisconsin milk production went up just a little bit. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we produced 2.69 billion pounds of milk within our border. And we did it with fewer cows. 1.27 million head of dairy cattle in Wisconsin. But that was 1,000 fewer dairy cattle than in November. 5,000 fewer milk cows in Wisconsin compared to December of 2023. Every one of those girls producing about 2,125 pounds of milk. That's up 10 pounds from a year before. Now, if you take a look at the 24 major dairy producing states, milk production was flat, even a little bit soft. California milk production was down almost 7%. Arizona down about 5%. We did see some gains, though, obviously. States like South Dakota, 6.4% higher as they get ready for new production to come online. But some big drops as far as December milk that the markets will likely be talking about. And speaking of the markets, this morning in Chicago, what you notice is the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down more than 400 points. A little anxiety in the marketplace. Currently, our December new crop corn's down 2 at 4.59. November new crop soybeans are down 6, 10.43. The wheat for July, that's down 3 right now at 5.67 a bushel. On Friday, the barrel cheese stood still. The 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a quarter at 1.83 and a quarter. The butter, AA butter, was up a penny and three quarters on Friday to 2.53 a pound. Now, the fluid milk for February, class 3 milk that goes into cheese, is unchanged at 19.30 a hundredweight. March also unchanged at 19.02 a hundredweight. The uncertainty in the marketplace and those fluctuations that we see daily in our dairy product prices, one of the reasons why Katie Burgess with EverAg is advising dairy farmers, check in with your dairy margin coverage providers. She said it may not seem like ideal odds of cashing in, but she said history shows it works.
Based on where milk prices are and feed prices, the models are not projecting any payouts for 2025. But that being said, when we look back over history, if we take the data for the past 20 years, the program's only 5 or 6 years old, but if we look at the historical price data, it would have paid for itself 18 out of 20, 19 out of 20 years. And so just given there's a lot of 2025 left, I still encourage producers to go talk to their local FSA office about it. Probably sign up for as much tier one volume as you can, up to 5 million pounds. Costs 15 cents a hundredweight, which is pretty cheap risk management insurance.
Katie Burgess with EverAg telling us last week that dairy margin coverage is probably worth investigating again going into 2025. You've got until March to try to make that decision. Again, check in. Well, we are checking in next with the chief executive officer of one of our Wisconsin Dairy Associations celebrating 25 years. That's a long time for a marriage, for a business, for a farm organization. What are they planning going forward? We're going to chat with Tim Trotter, CEO of Edge Dairy Cooperative and Dairy Business Association next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend happenings in terms of news and offer you another look at what's worse, your opportunity to call in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Farm Report, we want to talk about longevity. You know, for a marriage, a business to last 25 years, it takes some work. For a farm organization to last, especially one that's dedicated to dairy and dairy policy, you have to be very, very sharp. And that's exactly what you're getting when you talk about the Dairy Business Association and in hand-in-hand with Edge Dairy Cooperative and Farmers for Sustainability. All the groups working together to try to advance policy discussion and find better and stronger markets for dairy producers. Tim Trotter is their executive director, and as part of their 25-year celebration, I had a chance to visit with him and not only reflect on his first days when he joined the organization and why, but also talk a little bit about what it takes to keep a farm organization thriving 25 years in and keep it going.
Well, I was a good dairy kid raised on a farm in Coal City, Illinois. I was a farmer for 20 years, got caught up a little bit by urban sprawl, and just had an opportunity. I think 1997 was our last crop I raised. I got through the 80s.
Wow.
And when you think about that, yes, anybody that farmed through the 80s,
hello,
you know, there's a badge of honor. But, you know, I was really blessed to be in a really strong family. And, again, I went outside of agriculture for a period of time. And just before coming here, I was with senior staff in DuPage County. I was county government. Oh. You know, that was the second largest, I think, employer in the Illinois area. So I had a really good understanding of the policy side of things. So then when I saw the posting for this, and I don't know what made me look, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Going back to dairy, that's kind of, our farm had a dairy farm. We bottled our own milk. I mean, all those memories came back. And we loved Wisconsin. We always vacationed up here. Of course, dairy farm, you got to go someplace close, right? So it just felt natural. And then when I interviewed with the board and talked with them, I'm like, these people are marvelous. This is the gold. This is the gold. Yeah. And I've been blessed to have such a wonderful boards and members to work with.
Wow.
They give us the energy.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know these people. How can't you be? Every day it's easy to get up and do this work.
Yeah, that's right. But there is work, boy, I'll tell you. You know, I think about what's been accomplished in the first 25 years. And as you said, one of the themes at Dairy Strong 2025 is the questions that are still being asked of dairying, not just in Wisconsin, but nationwide, globally, on sustainability practices. And it's not so much anything new. A lot of these farmers have been doing these for generations, but it's the way we present. And dairy business has always been keen on understanding how we present.
Exactly. When you think about it, you know, what was laid back and, you know, when this organization started, it was all around the permitting process and having, you know, stable set of state guidelines to operate your businesses. Well, it really comes back to data on farms. And I think that's where, you know, I think we really need to lean into this. There's a lot of awesome stories and positive things happening on farms, but we don't have the really good data to prove it. Data that's been reviewed and scrutinized. Now we have that. Yeah. We have peer review, science peer review, looking at the work that FSF is doing on our Climate Smart program. I mean, all of this is coming together, but again, it's going to help inform policymakers in the state of Wisconsin that dairy business needs to be a thriving and growing business. We need to be open for business and how we look at it from a regulatory standpoint. Our farms are leaning into this. They are driving change. We don't need regulations to do this. We need innovation. We need empowerment. But also we need accountability. Us as farmers, we want to be accountable. We want a good drinking water, right? I mean, all of this makes sense. And I think also one thing that's been a big issue for us is, you know, working with our clean water partners. I mean, for me to say we're working with Clean Wisconsin, you know, everybody knows there's been history. We've sued each other. We were at each other. And it was Tom Crave. And I can remember the time he says, I think we need to have both boards get together. Bless Tom. Both boards got together and we were talking about, so what are the issues? Both boards shared what their vision was and what the requirements were. When we looked at them side by side, they were the same. So then you ask yourself, so why are we arguing about this? Why are we fighting about this? So that did a reset on how we look at this. And again, we were doing it with data. You know, we've got examples.
Yeah.
Come on the farm and look.
Yeah.
And their board was so encouraged and so, you know, I guess they were just shocked.
Surprised, yeah.
Surprised. So, but again, we weren't afraid to reach over and say, look, we can't just be suing each other. That's not going to get us where we need to be. So I think DBA has really brought that calm, that sense of pride and that sense of trust that we have the data and we have the credible farms that we can really inform and help make better decisions in the state capital.
You know, accountability is something that Dairy Business Association has constantly talked about. Going forward, the foundation that's been built, I don't see a lot of organizations necessarily going this route now and certainly don't have the history to bring forward. Tell me a little bit about leadership roles. I know DBA just established some of their policy guidelines, goals. Mm-hmm. Give me a little overview, Tim, of where you see their eye trained as an organization going forward.
Well, I think it's all about results. I think staff really look at this, you know, what do we need to do to add value to our farms, to add value to dairy? The interesting thing about DBA is we represent not only dairy farmers, but also the dairy industry. Greg Siegenthaler is a processor, first processor we've ever had leading the organization. That shows that continuity. And I think we really want to build on our core competencies. We need to really understand what the farmers' needs are. And in our strategic plan, we are doing really, really deep research on what is the future farmer need to succeed in Wisconsin. So we're taking the evidence that we're getting from this and feedback from our members, and we're using that as our guidepost of how we move forward, but also the accountability, knowing that every day we're doing this.
Yes.
So you ask, why can DBA do this? Because from day one, 25 years ago, it was trusted that we are going to do what we say we're going to do, and that is only amplified over the last 25 years.
Yep. Great conversation with Tim Trotter, Chief Executive Officer for Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, as that organization celebrates 25 years of trying to support not only Wisconsin dairy, but dairy across the Midwest. Congratulations, and look forward to working with that farm kid in the future. Want to find out more about the organization? Go to dairyforward.com. As I mentioned, tomorrow we'll catch up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We'll see you then.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
How agriculture might fare in the new political environment. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The stress of owning and operating a farm can be overwhelming. So many things are out of your control. The weather, the markets, the potential for pests and diseases affecting your crops or livestock. There's no shame in talking with a mental health professional. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. As Washington continues to organize, there's speculation about the direction ag policy will take. For example, trade. Here's political consultant Hunt Shipman.
It seems that Republicans have sort of lost their footing in the trade agenda in that respect, but hopefully the economic impacts that come from growing trade can be balanced with the administration's desire to make sure that we're treated fairly in foreign markets, and hopefully leverage that.
Maybe more importantly, there could be a push to enact a real farm bill, not just extensions of the previous version. Historically, party lines have formed over the farm bill, Democrats pushing for the nutrition side and Republicans supporting the ag title. Shipman suggests the Republican majority in both the House and Senate could move the process along.
The line that Senator Bozeman has used, we need more farm in the farm bill, is certainly, I think, something that we'll see as his team rolls out their version of a farm bill, hopefully early this year. And we've certainly got new Democrats on the top committee positions in both the House and the Senate, which will be interesting to see how much they deviate from their predecessors' positions as we look at a farm bill going forward.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House says Colombia has agreed to accept deportation flights after its president initially said that would not be the case in protest of the U.S. treatment of migrants. President Trump had threatened 25% tariffs on all Colombian imports. This week's confirmation hearings in the Senate will pose key tests for several of his nominees, says ABC's Selena Wang.
The Senate is going to be holding hearings for Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence, RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services Secretary, and Kash Patel for FBI Director. These are some of the more controversial picks.
Palestinians returning to their homes in northern Gaza after Israel opened the area for the first time in over a year as part of the ongoing ceasefire. In California, the rain is reducing fire risk, but increasing worries about mudslides. And the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Super Bowl for the third straight year after beating the Buffalo Bills. They'll play the Philadelphia Eagles February 9th. This is ABC News. Investigators in South Korea confirmed